When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello and welcome to the Go Place the Podcast. My name's Mark Evan Jackson. I play Sean. Only joking. It's Sarah Morgan, the host of the Fear Podcast, the podcast about the overlap between comedy and horror. Happy Halloween, everyone. I'm a bit giddy. I really like Halloween, and I'm pretending to be a different podcast, The Good Place, the podcast, but sexy. Yeah, happy Halloween, everyone. This is a very special episode of the Halloween Spooktacular 2019 Extra Double Spooky with all cobwebs on the letters, recorded live at the York Theatre Royal with Danielle Ward and David Reed. Oh, it's such a fun episode. Going to try and get to it really fast because we cover so much in it. Everything from off-brand Halloween costumes to sad nuns, Mork and Mindy, The Shining, creepy dolls, why York is so very, very haunted, and have Danielle's choices changed since she was on the show all way back in Series 1. But I just want to say a really quick thanks to our fiends in the north who made us feel so welcome at the York Theatre Royal, especially to Zach and all the staff there. God bless you and your many problematic ghosts. If you like this episode, you can rate it and review it in the place where those things happen on the internet. And next week, I have another, like, double spooky episode. It's all about the release of Usborne World of the Unknown, otherwise known to most people as The Usborne Book of Ghosts, and Occult London, another scary book by the fabulous Kate Hodges. We're going to be doing a deep dive on all the best scary books that we loved as kids. But for now, please enjoy Daniel Ward and Dave Dreed for The Fear, The Live in York. Happy Goth Christmas, everyone. Bad bye. Danielle, you've done The Fear before.
I have.
Thank you for coming back.
At the National. We had a little chat at the National Theatre.
Do you know what? In that sounds like we booked it.
That is an excellent loophole, isn't it?
We played The National.
Do you remember when we took my Zoom recorder to a corner in the National?
No, never admit that.
Yeah.
And now we're at the Theatre Royal.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
exactly.
Right. And then you can just sort of squat outside the Palladium next. It'll be great.
Yeah, now we are at the York Royal Theatre.
Theatre Royal.
Oh, fucking hell.
Yeah.
I've been doing that wrong since since the booking.
Nobody gets it right.
York
Theatre Royal.
Theatre Royal, which is in York, where you live.
Correct. And it's the only theatre the Queen will go to when she's in town.
Is it?
Yeah, that's how he gets his name.
She fucking hates the Opera House.
She hates the Grand Opera House.
Because it's the Grand Opera House, not the Royal Opera House.
That's right. Also, yeah. She just doesn't really like people who have been on ITV.
Yeah.
That's who plays that theatre?
Yeah, so there's two rival pantos, the York Theatre Royal Panto, which has local people, and the Grand Opera House, which has people off. Corey, I guess.
Oh,
I don't
names.
Know.
If you want to see Rylan anywhere in York, it'll be at the Grand Opera House.
Oh, that's right.
Right. Yeah. Amazing. Well, the thing the most drew me to this beautiful theatre that we're in at the moment.
Yeah.
Is the legend that it has ghosts.
It's got ghosts.
York is famously haunted as fuck. I am finding out.
I was recently on another podcast in this great city on Richard Herring's show, and he told me it's the most haunted city in Europe.
That is how they tag themselves.
It's an odd brag because it implies there's a far greater haunted city somewhere else in another continent.
Yeah.
And where is that, do we think?
We're recording this on October 25th. Mm. What happens in a week when we crash out of the EU? Oh, no, hang on, that's not happening anymore, is it? No, we've got some extensions.
Who can say?
What will the ghosts do? Will it be like in Ghostbusters when they just open the machine?
and the ghosts declare independence and rejoin the European Union.
Hang on, I just realized you're not meant to talk about Brexit outside of London.
You're not.
I've got an Irish passport because I died of a famine.
Is that how it works?
That might need cutting.
It might do.
Keep that in.
Yeah, so what are the ghosts in York?
Well, there's a lot of ghosts in York, but the ghosts in this particular theatre, they're very proud of the fact they have two ghosts. One is called the Dandy.
The Dandy. And the other is called the Beano.
I wish. The other one is called the Grey Lady.
The Grey Lady.
Yes.
So have you read about these? I was not aware of these.
I wasn't. And also, I don't quite understand why York's got more ghosts than anywhere. Like, it's not like more people die in York. Because if that is true, you should have told me that before we moved here.
Yeah, I should have. Full disclosure. More ancient people die in York. This has been, you know...
Like
been
mass graves or something. Are there mass graves? Are there they're genuinely...
Yeah. Around the city walls, is it TB raids?
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
That's right. There's a plaque about it. There's a plaque about it outside the train station.
That's cholera, isn't it?
Yeah, that's one of them.
For the listener at home...
You can do the diseases, the mass extinction tour.
For the listener at home, I'd like to mention, in case you don't know, Danielle Warden and David Reed are a married couple, and I'm technically, this is their date night.
That's
it
true.
Is, it genuinely
is. It's a rare opportunity to talk to one another.
I was like, oh, this is going to be such a nice gig, because essentially you two are on date night, and I can settle arguments. Like,
sure.
If you just like have a squabble about, like, get some, oh, but you know, we're really going to have this big argument now. I'll be a third wheel. I'll chip in. Like, I'll take one of your sides.
Okay.
Yeah. So the Grey Lady.
Yes.
If you're curious.
I am Grey Lady curious.
Yes. So the dandy's like a really fun one. He's an actor and he died in a duel with another actor.
Right.
And now he sort of scampers about.
Scampers about.
And he's good fun.
Can't get on spotlight.
And the theatre just had their 275th anniversary, and to celebrate, they hired a man to be the dandy.
To die in a duel.
To caper around the place.
Oh,
going,
I see.
Oh, I died in a duel. What larks!
Wow.
The Grey Lady, however. Grey Lady. Well, this is from an article about a gin that the York Theatre Royal released to mark its anniversary, the Grey Lady
with
Gin.
With a G or with a DJ?
Oh.
One is a fire spirit, and the other is a juniper berry spirit.
Yes.
Wordplay.
Nice wordplay.
Oh, work on Radio 4.
I do work on Radio 4.
Very nice.
Almost exclusively.
The Grey
it's
Lady.
It's nice to be out.
You two are adorable. I feel like you're going to order. Should we have another half bottle of wine?
Yeah, we'll be fine.
Half bottle of wine. The Grey Lady, a nun.
Yes.
Who is said to have been bricked up in a windowless room after falling in love with a nobleman.
Oh,
why did you do that to her?
And apparently...
it wasn't recently. Don't ask them.
Like, why?
Well, actually, it doesn't say.
Oh, it might have been last week.
Why did you do it to her?
It's true.
Whoa.
That's why she's special.
Well, that was some special work.
The ghosts of the theatre, you're...
The puns are coming thick and fast.
They are.
This is fantastic.
Oh. They're both good. I think those are both two good ones.
Because nuns deserve to be punished
deserved it, but they've got good stories behind them.
It's a good story, someone fell down the stairs and now they're really pissed off that someone left a Lego brick there.
So they put...
So they're haunting the Theatre Royal.
Pushing tourists downstairs.
That was like Showgirls, though. That would be good.
Showgirls,
you've just invented Zombie Showgirls and we need to copyright this right now.
Really
we both just at the same time went, hang on, that's really fucking good.
Oh, Showgirls.
Zombie Showgirls.
Danielle's going to write Showgirls the musical one day.
I love the idea. Are you fans of the film Showgirls? Isn't it like the best bad film
ever? Oh my God, you know
made?
There's a new documentary about it?
No.
It's called, something, They Don't Know Me.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to... We should discuss this off stage, but yeah, it's just come out. We should BFI.
Oh
we should go
God.
And watch
Lovely.
It. Lovely. Sorry, we were talking about ghosts.
Yeah.
I,
for 1 year, went to the same school that Dame Judi Dench went to, speaking of actors. And that was a girls' boarding school. And it's a true story. I was there for 1 year. That's a longer story.
I'm happy to die.
They, I believe, had three ghosts. I can only recall two of them. There was the white lady who was seen by boarding girls wandering the corridors at night. Mm. And the other one was the white cow, which was seen by boarding girls wandering the corridors at night.
It was
an actual cow.
Yeah. The ghost of a cow.
The ghost of a cow.
That was in a school and died. Right. I mean, not mysteriously. That's a bit, yeah.
And somehow had unfinished business. I mean, didn't eat enough cud. I mean, I don't know what that was about.
What unfinished business did cows have?
Well, exactly. Yeah.
I went to school in Fareham, which is near Portsmouth, and nowhere I went had ghosts.
No.
It's not a...
I grew up in Somerset, and I spent a lot of time near Bristol Suspension Bridge, which is there's a lot of horrible things happen there.
Yeah,
and no one,
ghosts. I think no I lost ghosts my virginity there. Someone ploughed off the end of it.
Was that unfinished business?
Oh, it's finished, baby. Okay. I'm so sorry. We found the level for the room.
That's good.
There's a pub nearby that...
always.
Oh, near this venue, yeah.
I mean, obviously, York is full of pubs. There's a pub by Pavement Vaults, which is their pub. Is it? And is it called the Rose Pavement, isn't it? There's a pub there, and one of its selling points outside is, one of our ghosts is the ghost of a child. And it's like, you're basically selling your pub on the fact a child died there. That's not...
That
doesn't make you feel festive.
Also, it's a sort of nouveau riche sort of wanky pub bar as well. Yeah. It's not like it's...
It's not actual Pavement Vaults. It's one of the other ones.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Oh, my God. Pavement Vaults has no ghosts.
Right.
It's really classy.
They've cleansed them all.
Yeah.
When they remodeled, they had an exorcism
I think
we've
worked out why York has so many ghosts. It's because buildings are old here,
that's
and
right.
It looks like they might be haunted. Yeah. It's easier than give them a refurb.
There's a pub I go to on a semi-regular basis, by which I mean once a month, and it's got a man went mad in the boarding lodgings upstairs there, and still to this day in the wood panelling of the room upstairs, which you can go and drink in, if you peer closely, there are little carved faces all over every inch of it.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's quite good, isn't it?
So he's an alive ghost.
I think he died in that room as well.
I'm taking this off. I'm wearing a wimple for the listener at home that I bought from a fancy dress shop in York today.
Oh, is that not a real one?
They're never this flammable.
No.
I mean, they go near a lot of naked flames, nuns, for lots of reasons.
That's
and this
true.
Would go up literally like a Roman candle. Oh, there was no pun intended there, but I'm very pleased with myself. One for the Catholics there. I bought it in a Festival of Fun.
Yay!
Yeah, if we say York things, just go, hooray!
She might get some money back. Like you know, with on Instagram, if you pretend...
Oh, if I snap myself.
Yeah, everyone kind of goes, oh, look, I bought this thing from this shop, and then they get some money.
Hashtag spod.
Yeah.
Spod.
Is that
Festival
how it
of fun.
My granny used
I think
to
you
do
need
that.
Quite a lot of... What?
Pre-Instagram. Pre-Instagram.
Hang on.
She wrote to Club Biscuits. She wrote them a letter and said, your biscuits are my favourite biscuits. And they sent her... £15.
No!
Yeah.
That was
not in vouchers or anything, just 15 quid.
Your granny was an early influencer.
Yeah, she
That's
was.
Nice.
She was.
She was the Logan Paul of her day.
It was offset.
I don't know who that is either.
It was offset.
Anyway, I'm taking the wimple off.
Festival of Fun.
I feel myself slightly burning. I don't know what
I mean, it's going to stick to your face at some point this evening.
Which one is Festival of Fun?
Promises, promises.
Is that the one on Goodrum Gate?
What's up?
Is it on Goodrum Gate? That's where I had my scary experience.
Scary experience.
What's your scary experience?
Okay, so I went to a Festival of Fun, as it turns out.
Yeah.
This was many years ago when I was still at school here. And we needed to buy some balloons for a school disco. And it advertised balloons on the window. And so sure. Brilliant, we have balloons. And I went, it's quite a small quite a small shop. Maybe this is too much preamble for the story. And you get what I'm saying. I went to a shop to buy balloons.
This is perfect hero's journey stuff. There's a person in a place of comfort, but they want something. Balloons, what
so
happens
I went
next?
Into
the woods.
I went inside, and it's quite a small place, and I couldn't see balloons anywhere. It was like, the balloons... dominates their window. Like, what's going on? So I asked the man behind the counter, just go, where are your balloons? He went, oh, they're upstairs. I was like, okay. And so I went upstairs.
Did he say, they all float?
And at the top of the
stairs
was an enormous, empty room. Apart from one rack of balloons, literally next to the top of the stairs. Like, it was the first thing you came to. And a man stood next to them. Who, as soon as I arrived at the top of the stairs, went, welcome. And it was an enormous empty room. And these were the most high-spec balloons I've ever seen. He said, these will stay inflated for over 6 months. I was like, the party, I mean, it's
and
what?
So will
five
I.
hours max? I mean, we don't really need these. But it was so creepy because He didn't give me space to stand there and talk to him either. I literally arrived at the top of the stairs and he was the next thing in the room. And so we just had to sort of stand almost face to face talking about balloons for far too long.
Oh my God, like he just, like a spec, like, welcome.
Yeah, I bought some balloons,
you.
I left. I assume nobody saw him for the next 48 hours because...
If he was even there at all.
If he was even there at all. The balloons did turn to ash as soon as I left the shop, so I don't know if that's...
See, when you told me that story, yeah, there was a lot more paedophile build-up.
Oh, I saw the beer keller in 96. They were great.
Paedophile build-up.
I really thought... When you told me that story the first time, I thought it was going to end with you being... molested.
I mean, I was 17 years old. Therefore, it would have been consensual. No, that's not what I meant.
It wasn't a sexy murder clan.
It wasn't a sexy murder clan. It was literally a man in some slacks.
It was really frightening.
And a shirt. It wasn't.
Just
slacks.
Some trousers holding some balloons. Like a really shit version of Up.
They had so many different balloons. It was quite
a
dizzying
List
array.
Them.
Oh, wow. Well, they had your classic red ones.
Sure.
And then your green.
Round?
These were all the classic rounds at this point.
They
ovoid.
Have sausage.
Sausage balloons, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They had your happy birthday. They had your...
Heliums.
Yeah. I mean, that's not... You need to put helium into a normal balloon to make it a helium balloon.
Stop lifting balloons in there.
They don't
condoms.
Condoms. They had
my
condoms.
My favourite kind of balloon.
Hot air balloons.
What?
They had all of them.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, Festival of Fun.
Yeah.
The shop that we all know and love in York, the best place to go and get a costume, particularly for a student. Oh, everyone at the till. Student discount. Beautiful.
Did it make you feel amazing?
They did not ask me.
Oh.
It's fine. I just bought a Wimpole full price, mate. I can't fucking afford it. It's ready at four money for you.
I am sorted.
I'm gonna spunk a fiver on a Wimpole. Oh my God, never apologise for laughing. Never apologise for laughing.
Before we start, can I have a glass of white wine?
Did you say before we start?
Before we start, can I have a... I thought this was just the mic test, right?
Do we have some... I mean, in a way...
Is that all right?
Zach, can we have some booze? Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks. And anyone else who wants to... Seriously, it's a very loose ship we're running here. If you want to go and get a drink or have a creepy peeper, chocolate eyeball...
Creepy
please help
peepers.
Me. Yes. Take the glass, pass them around.
Yeah. The audience
Lovely.
Is creepy peepers.
Oh, thank
the
audience, you so
yes,
much.
This is what Poundland call their chocolate eyeballs. Creepy peepers.
Really
because
kind,
chocolate eyeballs
you.
Are trademarked.
Are a slur.
Hello.
I mean, wow. We could start it on Twitter and see what happens. No, let's not do that.
The
let's
worst
not.
Place to experiment with language.
Yes. Compound words, sure. But yeah. So my favourite... I was inspired today in Festival of Fun.
Yes.
Looking for a nun's wimple or habit to dress as a nun I felt sorry for. Mm. The sex enthusiast grey lady who's nameless and bricked up somewhere in this building, but yet still wandering
it's quite
around.
The punishment. You think, like, you know, just God would have been enough.
Yeah. So why brick her up in a theatre? I mean, that seems quite
hang on,
dramatic.
Yeah, this is a lot.
Yeah, I mean, she clearly didn't live here.
We've got a sister act on. You'll love it. You'll really enjoy it.
Yeah, no, I felt sorry enough for the grey lady who is a ghost who was bricked up for falling in love with a nobleman, whoever
I feel
he might
sorry
be.
Sorry for all ghosts.
Yeah.
Sad.
Just a sidebar again. I saw a hand. I didn't see the hand, but I went to the crypt of Marjorie Clitheroe.
Margaret.
Oh. Margaret Clitheroe. Clitheroe. So let's get her name is Margaret Clitheroe.
Name is Margaret Clitheroe.
Yeah. And she.
I walked past her house on the way here.
Did you?
Yeah, walked down the shambles, and I did because I thought it'd be spooky.
Yeah,
there were lots of umbrellas, so it was terrifying.
I was on the shambles today. That's what
terrible
that was my.
Fear of umbrellas.
I bought a ghost tour for a podcast by Ghost Tour, Richard Felix podcast Ghost Tour of York, and then I mostly sat in a cafe in Bill's eating sweet potato fries and listening to it because it was too rainy.
I love that. I love the idea.
He paints a picture with words.
So you don't need to go anywhere.
Or just make stuff
up. I love the idea of listening to a tour and just sitting in a
great.
Cafe.
So you're sort of sitting there and he goes, let's say outside this lovely church is a small girl in a white dress and she only appears when there's a funeral. No one knows who she is. She might have died in a fire.
Who might have died
just,
in a fire.
He just starts speculating. That's why I love... He's my favourite ghost expert, because he genuinely believes in ghosts and is scared of them, which is brilliant. Like, because if you're doing a kind of funny ghost hunter character, you think, oh, they're going to be a fraud, they're in it for the money. He genuinely is frightened of ghosts and does it anyway. Like, he's brave, he pushes through.
Also, I take umbrage with his guesswork there, because if she's got a white dress, she probably didn't die in a fire.
What he does is he sort of lists the way that she might have died at you for about 5 minutes. He goes, she could have drowned, she could have been bricked up, she could have died of old age.
Small girl who died of old age.
We'll never know, Richard, but you can keep saying methods of death until we all, you know.
Oh, that would be a pisser, wouldn't it?
She could have been eaten by a shark.
It would be really... Oh, imagine living a long and fulfilled life and dying of old age and then coming back as a small girl.
Outside a church in York.
I live my life.
Like high spirits.
You can't have sex with ghosts. That's not a thing.
Not a small girl ghost, no.
No, any ghost, can you?
Well, high spirits, that's what the whole plot of...
Oh, yeah. Well, it's not the whole plot of high spirits. It's just ghost porn.
Steve Gutenberg thing?
Great reference. With Daryl Hannah and early Liam Neeson.
Yeah.
As a stinky ghost.
God, I haven't thought about that film in a really long time, and I wonder if it holds up. Probably now isn't the time to speculate.
You like it, don't you?
I do. I've seen it far more times than it probably deserves.
Mm.
It's good. It's Peter O'Toole at his best.
Is that his best in Supergirl?
He's at his best in Venus when he fingers Doctor Who.
He fingers Doctor Who?
Have you not seen Venus?
Can I ask which Doctor Who he fingers?
Which one that we can guess, because we don't know, but which one has a vagina, do we think?
Oof, that's a tricky one.
Yeah.
Is it?
And I'm aware it's the Doctor, not Doctor Who.
Well, it's Tom Baker.
Don't write it.
It's Tom Baker.
Yeah, he fingers...
Jodie Whittaker.
Wow. I think he's 16 in that film.
Whoosh.
It's a really good film. I don't know why I'm mentioning it now. It's Peter O'Toole and another elderly actor whose name I can't remember. And they're retired actors living... one of them fingers Doctor Who.
Wow.
It's a really good film. Other things happen in it, but that's the standout.
Even though
I didn't know she was going to give you Doctor Who, she's a very good actress.
I'm sure she didn't at the time.
What were we... we were on the shambles.
Shambles
were
on the shambles.
We were going to go to Marjorie... No, why do I keep saying Marjorie? Margaret Clitheroe's house.
So her hand is there?
According to Richard Figlex on the podcast that I listened to, she was... Because her death is really horrible.
Yes.
What's her death?
So she was arrested for...
Stashing priests.
Well, organising mass, which meant you had to have a priest somewhere because they weren't, you know, legal tender, and you had to stash them somewhere. And she was a butcher's wife, and she basically organised mass for local Catholics. And so she was tried, and she refused to plead either guilty or not guilty, because if she pleaded either, they could then interrogate her children, which in that day and age would involve torture.
Mm-hmm.
And so she stayed quiet instead, and therefore they executed her by crushing. So they put basically a door wedge in the base of her spine, laid a door on top of her, and then just piled rocks on her until her back snapped. And this was by the banks of the Ouse for lots of people to watch. They stripped her naked first.
Yeah, it was called pressing.
Pressing, that's right.
And it's the origin of the phrase, I won't press you on that.
Ugh.
Horrifyingly enough, I found out today from the man who was enthusiastically telling the story in the crypt.
She was quite a popular figure as well.
Yeah, and she's a saint now, I think. Or
she's
been martyred.
She was canonised later, but it was... the executioners actually refused to do it, or rather felt too guilty, or felt like this would not do their street cred any good. So they actually paid beggars to do it for them. So she was executed by drunks.
Oh. One stone at a time.
Yeah.
Pressed. Yeah. Oh. It's fucking dark.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, my feeling on all famous ghosts is the men seem to have an all right time and the women are just like...
Well, I've written a play about the York local boy, Guy Fawkes. And interestingly, he was about 15 years old when that happened. And so you can imagine it being quite an interesting turn in his development.
Yeah, there was the bloke who was in it's not her house, but it's the crypt that's for her on the shambles by all the not Harry Potter shops. They're called Boy Wizard shops. cops or that sort of thing. There was a bloke in there, and I don't know if he was paid, like, and the people he was with were paying him to do it, or and I'd stolen a bit of free ghost tour, or if he just sits there saying things and people go and listen. But he was telling that story very enthusiastically, but in using footballers' tense. He's going, so she's what she's done is she stashed some priests in her stashed some priests, and what happens is that the neighbours have heard, their neighbours are hearing about it, and they're telling everyone, which comes gets arrested, and it's really weird. He's really enthusiastic.
Wow.
Yeah,
he sounds great.
He was. He might be there, or he might be a ghost.
Yeah, was he alive?
I mean, hard to say. Mm. The ghost of a football manager, certainly, because he was talking in that very particular style.
Come and have a look at
a post-match interview.
Yeah, it was odd, but yeah, and then he said, but oh, Guy Fawkes, he's seen her. He's seen this happen. You know what? Changed his mind about a lot of things. It did. That is what. So it's like she was the muse for entire.
Well, you can see it happening. You know.
Yeah.
He's at a public boys' school. I mean, what else is going to be seen that's harrowing?
Yeah.
Apart from, you know, stuff.
Oh, was that a pun?
No.
Harrowing.
Harrowing. No, he didn't go to Harrow. No, St. Peter's.
You're talking about bumming, aren't you?
I'm not talking about bumming, but I'm thinking
about
it
woman
now, and that's
die
your fault.
Slowly under a slab of stone.
That's it.
Rock by rock.
Yeah.
That will maybe have
grim.
An influence on her.
And yet she, not haunting anyone.
Yeah,
she's just like fine with it.
She just got on with it, didn't she?
She just, yeah, she's her hand is in that house, apparently.
There aren't enough Viking ghosts in York.
No.
And I thought there'd be more.
Hang on,
what's this?
Roman.
There's Roman ghosts.
Roman ghosts, yes, in the Minster. There's
That's not a Viking.
No, it's not. You're quite right.
Oh, first argument of the night.
You're quite right.
Right, guys, come on.
No, there's apparently
just
there's
order
a Roman.
Another starter, it's fine.
There's a Roman legion, or at least sort of like patrol, that has been seen marching through. It was seen first marching through one of the crypts.
This is a ghost patrol.
Ghost patrol. Okay. TM. It's an official ghost patrol.
New CBeebies series.
Yeah. It's when all of Paw Patrol die. They then do ghost patrol.
I mean, that's adorable and
but
awful.
It was a Roman. There was a Roman legion marching, was seen by someone in the crypt marching, but their feet. They were marching around their halfway up their shins in this crypt, and they then, because of this sighting that scared the shit out of the person who saw it, they excavated beneath the crypt, and lo and behold, they found a Roman road. The archaeologists found a genuine Roman road under about half a shin beneath that
but
crypt.
But where are the Vikings?
The Vikings, that's different. The
no,
Vikings
but,
are different.
But York is about Vikings, right?
And Romans, yeah.
And ghosts, so why aren't there any Viking ghosts?
They all went out. Well, the Vikings did, because Viking means pirate.
Oh, hang on, your Viking funerals, they all happen, don't they go off in a longboat and shoot it with an arrow? Is that a lie, like
no,
the horns on their heads?
That's a Game of Thrones funeral. We talked about this last time we were in York on your show.
What?
With your Viking expert. Do you
what,
remember?
Did we
they don't have the horns. I know we don't have the horns.
No, but we talked about Viking funerals.
Oh, we did,
and he
yeah.
said that...
We didn't talk about Viking ghosts.
No, we didn't talk about Viking ghosts. Maybe they just, they you know, were quite happy to die.
Yeah, they sound like the
get
sort.
On
not no unfinished business.
Yeah, exactly.
They got all their business done.
Do you know, like,
business
with
Vikings.
Oh, do you know about Vikings? Are they happy to die?
I mean, it was a horrible time to be alive.
I'm glad we finally answered the question.
But that's the whole point of a warrior, isn't it? A warrior is happy to die.
That's
even
right.
If they get bricked up in a theatre, it's their time.
I just meant that when you said earlier that York is the most haunted city in Europe,
yeah.
I reckon it's a numbers game, that they've counted every single Roman.
Right.
That's what it is. So if you count them as a train...
No! Let's sidebar, because we were on the shambles.
Oh, yeah, let's
we're on the shambles. Yeah. We're having a lovely day. The rain's
nice.
Coming
it's
down.
We're not the best ones.
Lovely.
But
there's some fake wizard shops
Fudge
that are
shops.
Definitely not Harry Potter, but there's lots of brooms and things.
Yeah. Overpriced jelly cat things.
Yeah, there's candles that look like ghosts. That's good. I mean, it's all lovely. But then when I was in the Halloween fancy dress shop, I was delighted by quite how many of the costumes were my favourite thing about Halloween, one of my many favourite things about Halloween, a shit off-brand fancy dress costume.
Wonderful.
Oh. Everyone a fan of shit off-brand fancy dress costumes? Where you are not allowed to use the brand, proprietorial brand?
Yeah.
So you can't say Madonna, you have to say 80s pop star.
Yes.
And you
legally distinct 80s pop star.
Legally distinct 80s pop star. And so I thought we could have a little quiz.
Ooh.
Just for lols.
Hello.
Of a few. Audience join in if you like. Shout out.
What do we win?
Creepy peepers.
Yes. I'm in.
Fistful of creepy peepers for whoever. Yeah. So okay. I'm going to start off with an easy one, but these are ones I've gathered from my favourite Halloween shops and my favourite place on the internet.
Okay.
Easy one to start with.
Right.
Adult purple rock star.
Prince.
Prince.
Yeah.
Be terrifying if it was anyone else.
Yeah.
Babylon Zoo?
Grimace. Yeah. Hungry Rebel Girl.
Hungry
Rebel Girl.
Hungry?
She's hungry. And she's a rebel.
Oh, okay.
And she's a girl.
Katniss Everdeen.
That is apparently the name of the character.
She's not hungry.
No, she's not hungry. It's the Hunger Games.
But that doesn't make any sense.
It makes no sense. It should have been bow and arrow rebel girl.
Yeah. That could.
I like it. I like the
hungry.
You've watched the Hunger Games and you've gone, oh, she's peckish.
Yeah,
really
I like
peckish.
It. That's a good.
Yeah, on a similar vibe, strange girl blonde wig.
Strange girl blonde wig.
If you wanted to
seven. No, she's not got
11.
Blonde. 11.
Yeah.
7-11, I was thinking. No.
Right, show wrong number.
Lovely. Just a head.
Just a head in a box.
What's in the box?
Oh, that'd be a great costume.
Just a box.
Just a box over your head.
And if you couldn't use the name of the thing, you'd have to call it, what's in the box? Or
what's
Deadly
in the box?
Sin Decapitation Woman.
Spoiler head.
Biscuit Beast. Easy one.
Cookie Monster.
There you go.
Biscuit Beast. He would not be as popular if that was his name.
Sexy colour-blocked cube.
Colour-blocked?
Sexy colour-blocked cube.
So I think sexy is a red herring here, because all Halloween costumes can be sexy.
Yeah. We have a two-year-old and she watches Number Block, so it could be any of the Number Blocks.
Which is the sexiest?
Octoblock.
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 It's Octoblock.
You knew that way too fast, both of you. Oh, I know exactly who the sexiest Number Block is. Yeah, I remember having a two-year-old.
One.
This is the point when you start like ranking in what order you fuck your parents and Peppa Pig.
Oh, totally.
Not Daddy Pig, weirdly.
Which CBeebies presenter would you definitely... put in a skip.
What?
I remember spending a lot of time speculating about the state of marriage of Topsy and Tim's parents.
Mm.
Topsy's mum.
Not a name. Topsy's not a name.
No.
Topsy's mum really reckons she's far too good for Topsy's dad, who has a very vague job.
Same with Waffle the Wonder Dog. The parents in that, I mean, the dad, what does he do?
Yeah.
Puts up with Waffle's shit, mostly.
Well, he's a talking dog. Put him in a show.
Right.
Flop. What's he called? Bing and Flop. The size difference really gives me a panic. It really gives me.
Have you heard this theory about Bing?
Oh yeah,
it's brilliant because I don't know if you're aware of this TV show where
really
all of the children.
We will get back to fancy dress costumes, but this is really heaven.
All of the children are animals, and all of the carers, we can't call them parents, are sort of sack puppets about half their size.
Yeah,
and yet the world they inhabit is adult-sized.
So they have
to
get,
where
like,
did all the adults go?
They have to get, like, you know those footsteppers in the supermarket? They have to get them to use the cooker.
So it suggests something deeply sinister happened to all the real parents, and all these sack surrogates were dropped in by the invaders in order to just take care of the children.
I like it.
It's quite creepy.
I'm enjoying your date night immensely.
It's going how it would have done normally, to be honest.
We get onto Bing eventually.
Always onto Bing.
Yeah.
What were we talking about? Cube. Blocks. Is it just a Rubik's Cube?
It is a sexy Rubik's
right.
Cube.
Yes. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. My personal favourite, One-Eyed Master's Helper.
One-Eyed...
Oh, I feel like you got it, or you're just really happy. I don't know.
One-Eyed Master's... It's not Igor, is it?
No. Good guess.
One-Eyed Master's Helper.
One-Eyed Master's Helper.
Who is it?
No,
you can say it louder.
Oh, a minion.
Well done.
A minion, yes, of course.
Some creepy peepers.
Creepy peepers.
Well done, audience member.
Well done.
Well guessed. That's a difficult one.
One-eyed master's helper.
Isn't it horrifying? Yeah. Like a yellow jumpsuit. What else we got on here? That nothing's as good as... I like this one just because it's like a checked skirt and a little jacket, and it's notionless. Notionless.
Clueless.
Everybody in the audience, clueless.
Clueless can't be copyrighted.
And for this one, I'd like you to guess what the name of this might be.
Oh my God.
Okay.
You'll be making America great again in this Halloween limited edition Yandy costume featuring a white sleeveless shirt with an attached collar, an attached red tie, a royal blue faux blazer, and royal blue booty shorts. Just $69.95 weeks sold separately.
Sexy the worst of us.
Jason Voorhees.
It is a sexy...
Trump
costume.
I wouldn't have known.
It's a sexy Trump costume. It's for girls.
For girls?
And for weirdly... I mean, if you can do Donald Trump on Snatch Game on Drag Race, then he's not a brand, so I don't know why they've had to give this a new name, but they couldn't just call it Sexy Donald Trump, but they haven't.
This becomes part of the subculture of costumes, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, you have to give it a shit name. But the sexy... Anyone want to guess the sexy Donald Trump costume for girls? It's a girl's name. They've made a girl's name out of it.
Really?
Donald Dean.
It's close. It's Donna T.
Rump.
Shaker.
Oh. Donna T. Rump Shaker.
And you know what? If you go to a party dressed as that, you are going to get a lot of cock that night.
Whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because consent doesn't matter.
Right.
Oh, that was a dark joke. Sorry. Yeah. Grab them by the costume. I also like that Yandy are doing a Beyond Burger costume this year, which is a regular... sexy hamburger outfit, but it's got a little hat that says plant-based.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, that was cute.
Doesn't matter that my late night call.
Heavy Pencil, a new comedy from Great Big Owl, the people who brought you Brian and Roger.
Are you a client?
Yes, I'm a client. I'm the actor Michael Cork.
The Observer called it a lovely thing, wonderfully funny, pitched perfectly, produced with a light touch.
No. I've been taken on as Fliss's assistant.
You're the assistant's assistant.
Yes, if you like.
Heavy Pencil by Anna Crilly and Tony Gardner.
Great Big Owl.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I was up to a Halloween party as Deirdre Rashid. She was at the time, yeah.
When she was banged up.
When she was banged
Prison
up.
Deirdre.
I had a lovely... I did the impression. This is how I spent the entire night doing it. And this is why I didn't lose my virginity till I was 22. I went to a Halloween party.
Sorry.
Yeah, in prison. Because, you know, like, when you're younger, when you're a young woman, you either go sexy or you go funny. And I always went funny. I spent the whole night doing
it. I normally go out too much. For the listener at home, Danielle looks like a sort of crying T-Rex.
Yeah. And I...
like a drowning turtle.
No. Or like Deirdre Rashid.
No one touched my tits that night.
I would have.
I should have gone as a sexy cat or something.
Sexy Rubik's Cube would have
sexy
done
Rubik's
it.
Sexy Rubik's Cube, yeah.
I've got a sexy crayon costume. It's my emergency Halloween costume. Wow. I bought it when I was in America, and it was the only costume left in the shop. It's just a child's crayon costume. It's purple. Crayola. It was on brand. It was a sexy Crayola. It was just a very small crayon costume that I wore with a lot of makeup and low self-esteem. Have you ever dressed as a sexy anything,
no.
Dave?
No. Not even in my own clothes.
Did you, Rashid?
No, never.
We went to a Halloween party when we first started going out.
That's right.
And you had a noose around your neck.
Yeah, I dressed as I had a suicide note pinned to my chest. It's quite dark. In retrospect,
what were you, just a suicide man?
Yeah, I was just a guy who killed himself.
Just a guy in a suit.
Yeah.
And my outfit, my favourite Halloween outfit, is a little tiny bullet hole in the front of the head, and then load of jam in the back of the hair.
That's nice.
And you can wear whatever you want.
That's it. It's very
sexy,
easy.
But bullet hole, jam.
Yeah. What's been your best fancy dress apart from jam head?
I went to a fancy dress party as Brian Ferry. Again, no sex.
Brian Ferry got a lot of sex, I think.
I went to a fancy dress party, and I'm really worried that these photos are going to come out if I ever get any degree of fame. I went to a fancy dress party as Papa Lazaru. So... yeah,
that's really hard explaining why that's okay.
It's not like I did it loads of times and then I became the president of Canada. I did it once.
Or did the Sarah Silverman.
Do you know what?
Program.
I did get fingered at that party though. So what can I say?
Wow.
Oof. That's the sort of thing your husband likes to hear.
Love to hear that.
She got fingered while dressed as Rhys Ismay.
No, I really do. I've worked with him. Don't know how that's relevant. I'm just deflecting, I think.
I love it. I've done that. I've done Uma Thurman in Pulp Fiction. Yeah. I love a fancy dress party.
Fabulous. So, Danielle, you have been a guest on The Fear before.
Yes.
Your choices, because for listeners who don't know, the premise of The Fear is my guests bring in three things. They bring in a fear from their childhood, their favourite scary moment from film or TV, and a fear or phobia they live with now. Mm-hmm. Danielle sent me a huge list before we started talking, and we whittled it down. Because we all have. I mean, everyone is riddled with weird, exotic curiosities.
A bag of anxiety.
Hence the podcast. Mm. That's the gist of it. We're all scared of something, usually like really mad things. Your three choices we whittled down eventually to, if I remember correctly, we had the Secret Lemonade Drinker advert.
Which really is scary.
Really scary.
The Armites advert.
The Armites advert. As a child, you were scared. Oh God, hang on. I think
the Armites
flying.
Was
we are flying. You're terrified of flying. And Ghost Watch was
and
your
Ghost
favorite
Watch.
Scary film
yes.
or TV moment.
Have you all seen Ghost Watch?
Yeah.
Have you not seen it? It's amazing.
It's the best time of year to watch Ghost Watch.
Scariest thing Craig Charles ever did.
Yeah. Also, you'll watch the first half and you'll go, this is shit. And then you will be so scared. It's proper.
It's excellent.
The proper first half is so bad that it lulls you into such an amazing sense of complacency. Yeah.
It is. Yes, it's perfect. We talked about it. Please seek out Danielle's episode, which I think is episode 2 or 3
of
The Fear,
really
a long
on,
time ago.
It?
Recorded in the National Theatre.
In the National Theatre.
Recorded in the National Theatre on my Zoom recorder
room.
In the lobby. I think we hid in because the theatre's not, there's nothing on in the theatre. So I think we just went and sort of sat in the back of the theatre and recorded it. They don't care.
It still counts.
Still counts. So you've done The Fear before.
I have.
Have your fears changed since you did it?
I mean, I still genuinely find the idea of the R. White's lemonade advert really frightening.
It's
frightening, right? Have you seen it? Because I've said this on The Fear before, but the reason it's frightening is Secret Lemonade Drinker, right? So coming down the stairs at night by yourself, I'm taking a big risk here. There might be slugs on the floor. And then you open your
fridge. That's the subtext, is it?
Yeah.
And then you open your fridge. I'm going to have some lemonade. That's all fine. Shut your fridge and then your partner's there. That's scary. But more scary than that is when they had they did the proper adverts and they were already a bit creepy. And then they had this other set of adverts. And when he shut the door, it was Frankie Howard. So if my wife has turned to Frankie Howard, how is that not terrifying?
Also, whenever the advert was on, you didn't know which one it was going to be.
Yeah, you didn't know. So my I've been the normal one.
It was basically It Follows.
It was really scary.
It was really scary. It was lots of, yeah. Go back and listen to that episode, and we talk for a very long time about how scary
me.
That habit is.
But scary now. So I've had, I can't remember, I think I might have had my baby when we did the first recording of The Fear. But now she's a bit older, so she's just coming up for two, and so we use the baby monitor. That is, you know, obviously when they're tiny babies, you've got them with you all the time. And we use a baby monitor, and the thing that really scares me now is hearing a sound from the baby monitor that is the normal sound of my child, and going up to check on her, and this is going to sound so weird, I'm finding... Yeah. Mork's son.
Oh, wait, that is
from Mork and Mindy.
Oh my God! Hang on. That was Winters. Someone Winters.
He's a big fat old man.
Big fat old man. He's meant to be a baby, and he's a big fat old man.
Yeah.
That's really frightening.
I wish
right?
From actors now. Can someone Google this, please? So, the baby from Mork and Mindy.
You might not have heard this. So when in Mork and Mindy, the 70s, 80s sitcom, Mork and Mindy have a baby, and it grows in an egg.
Because he's an alien, yeah.
Because he's an alien. The baby hatches and it's a big...
And out pops
a big fat man.
A character actor from the 70s. Yeah.
And it's so
weird. I think he's
weird.
A comedian. So I think he's a stand-up.
I think he's a stand-up.
And he just wears a nappy. He's naked, but for a nappy.
And I found it really frightening at the time.
And you absolutely convinced that was going to happen.
I found the series at the time as a child really... I found it so weird that they'd given birth to a big adult man and no one reacts like this isn't the most horrific thing that's ever happened to them. It made me really scared and weird. And now when my child makes a noise, the little fear inside me is I go into her room and there's a great big man in her cot.
There's a big American actor
in her. She's turned into a... I find that, in the darkest moments of the night, when if she makes noise and I have to go and see to her, I find the idea of going in and it not being my daughter...
Did you know about this?
No, I had no idea about this. This is the first time hearing about it.
It's not my daughter. Wonderful. You find all these little things out about
you. Also, I loved how you started this statement with, in the darkest moments of the night, as if you're Batman.
In the darkest moments of the night, when they go and check on my daughter, the idea that she's not there is obviously terrifying. But it's not that she's not there; it's that she is now a big fat man.
And what is it that you have to now love a big fat man like your daughter?
Yeah,
or
it's that.
It's just the body horror.
It's the body horror of my
him going, "Mommy."
Very reasonable for all new. I mean, because when we recorded your episode of The Fear, you're not a parent, and then you're. Oh. And I was like, oh my! I wonder if Danielle's fears have shifted now. And now it's like, oh, the future, Greta Thunberg.
It's not that.
Now it's like, no, I think my baby's been stolen and replaced by.
Not even stolen, just become. That's worse. Yeah. If she's been stolen and replaced, I can find her. Well. If she's just become. She's just turned into a great big man. How can I get that back?
David Reed.
Hi.
Hi.
I
feel like a gauntlet's been
there.
I think you have.
A judgment-free zone, this podcast, and it's
but we are moving on.
But I feel like a gauntlet's been thrown down now because you have not.
Oh my God! How can I?
You've not
meet
done
that.
Yeah. Can you outweird your wife?
No. That's why I married her.
Because I know what your choices are. Your three fears that you are bringing in. Your fear from your childhood, your favourite scary moment from formal TV, and your fear or phobia you live with now.
What are we talking about first? They're nothing compared to this.
Please tell me, David.
Yes.
About old portraits / Victorian shit.
Oh, old portraits / Victorian shit. Mm. So my parents are from very different walks of life. My dad is a working class man from Newcastle or South Shields, to be specific, and my mother is quite posh from Edinburgh. And we used to visit the grandparents, once or twice a year. And when I would go up to St. Andrews, where my mum's parents now lived, and it was in a sort of Victorian four-storey corner tenement that was just crammed full of the same shit it had 100 years ago. So there was a nursery full of old dolls and teddy bears that were just so coarse. They would scrape the skin right off your cheek.
So loved.
So loved that so they were loved. Horrible.
Oh my God, I want that on a t-shirt. And I want that to be my Twitter bio.
And the walls, even in the nursery where you were supposed to sort of play and maintain innocence, were just full of oil paintings of craggy-faced old dead people. And there were buttons on the walls of every room to call the servants. The buzzers no longer worked, and the servants were all dead. And there was a dumb waiter. There was a dumb waiter that went all the way up. So you knew no matter what floor you were on, there was always access from someone who'd broken in.
A contortionist could get very small.
They could always get in through the dumbwaiter.
There was a shaft to fall down and die.
That's it. My brother and I used to play on the dumbwaiter. If one of us got in, the other one could get us all the way up and down, get us into the kitchen.
Horrifying. I can sense the class warfare, though. I can someone coming in, why do you not take all this shit out and get some new stuff? Get yourself down Wickes, get a nice new kitchen.
And it's all sort of fine, like going to a museum during the day, and then at night, because this is not a house with night lights or with like easily accessible, you know, lights to turn on. There's just shadows, and I don't know how oil paintings are so visible at night, but they just loom. They loom out of the darkness, you know. And these are all people apparently related to me, but they were all terrifying. They chose not to have their portraits painted in their youth, but when they looked, they looked at their nearest to death. That's when they wanted to.
Did you have some suspiciously young-looking relatives running around the place? Is it a bit Dorian Gray? That's the illusion I was making. It's a very, very good literary illusion.
It is very clever.
Thanks very
clever
much.
Indeed.
Thanks.
I don't think so.
No. They just had
everyone was old in that. But this sort of led to a general sort of fear and distrust of the aesthetic of the Victorian era as well. And so I had repeated nightmares in that house as a child of a small Victorian girl waking me up. So it's one of those where your nightmares were set in the room you had fallen asleep in. And when I say small Victorian girl, she was about a foot high. And she would tug at my covers from the side because she wanted to talk to me. And play with me there. And she was sort of in a blue dress. And I was thinking about this recently.
Are you sure it wasn't a ghost?
Well, it might, but a ghost of a one-foot girl?
The ghost of a doll?
What happened to her?
Ghost of a Cabbage Patch doll?
Yeah. This links, I think, to my next choice. So I won't jump ahead. But we'll get back to it. But I think it also links to a spooky... A scene in a film that scared the shit out of me, which was The Witches.
Roald Dahl's The Witches.
But it was the opening pre-titles short story about a little girl who disappears from a house and appears in a painting. And every day she's doing something different in the painting, like she's out in the yard or she's up in the window. Mm. You never see her move, but she's always somewhere else
forever,
and she's basically trapped in the paint. And I think it had all melded together with these oil paintings on the wall staring down at me as I tried to sleep in the attic of this terrifying old house.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's horrifying.
Yeah, but I remember waking up one morning to see I had genuinely thrown my teddy at where I thought this girl had been in the night.
I think it was a ghost.
Okay.
It's probably a ghost. I'm going to say that having spent a day thinking about ghosts and enjoying them.
Why was she a foot tall?
Ghost of a doll.
No, she wasn't a doll.
Baby.
She was a young woman.
A toddler.
Little person.
No, she wasn't. She was like genuinely fully grown, but but she was a foot high.
That's not genetically impossible.
No, but she looked, you know, the proportions changed.
She looked like Kim Basinger.
Yeah, she looked like Kim Basinger.
But was a foot tall.
Did I not mention that? It was Kim Basinger in a Victorian dress.
Is it like my stepmother is an alien?
Yeah.
She came in through the door.
Terrifying.
That's the best Kim Basinger film everyone remembers.
I threw my Ewok at her.
Oh, I've never heard it called that before.
or the sexual term throwing.
Yes. You said that your fascination with Victorian shit.
Yeah. It's weird that
to your choice from film or TV.
I'm sure it is, because I think early fears turn into fascinations later.
Yes.
Possibly by for a means of control, but it's certainly you end up thinking about it a lot.
Mm.
So no, I would be guessing, but I went on to write sketches and theatre shows based exclusively in a terrifying Victorian world. So who can say whether they're related?
You definitely dwell in the spooky. I mean, you do a podcast called All Rather Mysterious.
I do.
Which is very
about
good.
About conspiracy theories, yes.
Well, yes, unsolved
mysteries.
Unsolved mysteries, yeah. Which I'm enjoying a lot. Yeah, you do certainly dwell in the world
macabre
in the past.
Yes.
I think
that's true. I think that probably had an effect on me. Yeah. But horror is an incredibly influential genre because it's you don't need to understand the images you're watching. You just need to understand the reaction you're having.
Yes.
I think loads of comedians have got a horror influence somewhere in what they do.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think I spoke to you when I did The Fear before. Like, I saw American Werewolf in London when I was 4 years old, and it is still my favourite film. Mm. I love it so much. But I remember it terrifying me and wanting to explore why it scared me.
Mm. But that's the comedian's analytical brain.
Yeah.
Why we're scared of something, I think, is really interesting. And also the comedy and horror having the same rhythms and the same expectations there. You create tension, you release it. You create tension, you release it. And the control of that,
surprise people. Yeah. You set up a pattern and then don't deliver on it.
Mm.
You know, you deliver, go somewhere else. I think one of my favourite horror films is Drag Me to Hell, which isn't on many people's top 10.
It's a good film.
It's an incredible
film.
I think it's a perfect example of you don't know whether it's going to make you laugh or jump with every single beat of what's going on. And so you're that bit more left bare to the reactions of both.
Absolutely.
And I think Sam Raimi does that brilliantly.
Yeah.
We were talking about this earlier today, actually, the Exorcist 3, the scene from Exorcist 3. Did you watch it? Does everyone know the film Exorcist 3? It has a fantastic scare in it that we probably shouldn't spoil, but it sort of makes you wait for a scare. And then it makes you wait a bit more. Hospital corridor. Yeah.
So I haven't watched it, because the thing that I've found really fascinating since having a baby is my tolerance for horror has come down so much.
Oh, it comes back, love.
Does it?
Like your pelvic floor.
Floor is amazing.
So is mine. It's like a bulldog clip. What are you talking about?
Mine's like a lid on a jar of iodine mustard. So I'm writing a horror film at the moment. A folk horror film, which I'm really excited
about.
And my director has said to me, you have to watch Hereditary. Have you seen Hereditary? The Ari Aster film. I've not seen it. And she was saying, you have to watch it. It's amazing. Like
just make yourself watch it.
The bit that if you've not seen it, it's so brilliantly shot and everything. And I can watch old horror. I can watch, because I used to be really scared of 70s horror stock or even 70s stock in general. Like any sort of, even like a 70s sitcom has that weird sheen to it. Mm. And that used to scare me. And now I can watch 70s films with no problem at all. But any sort of jump scare, I can't. Mm. I haven't got the tolerance
for advice for Hereditary would be the best bit happens about 20 minutes in and the rest so fucking daft that you'll just kind of like come down quite nicely.
I used to have stand-up material, but the thing that annoys me about Ari Aster is he has turned what was a stand-up routine of mine into a classic piece of horror. And maybe that's why my career hasn't gone very well.
Because you didn't make it into a film with, what's her name? Woman in it.
Toni Collette. Maybe the problem is that what I thought was funny is actually...
I wrote a sex comedy and then Toni Collette did another sex comedy.
Why is Toni Collette taking all our jobs?
She's getting better and better though, isn't she? I think Toni Collette's really good.
The less she's in things that we've written. Yeah.
But I haven't watched it because I'm scared. I'm genuinely...
You'll be fine.
I need a wall behind me. I can't
just watch it in a brightly lit room. And
if we watch it at home, there will be a wall behind you.
Yeah, there will be a wall behind
at some point.
Yeah.
Most cinemas have walls these days.
That's true.
I can't do it. If someone's sat there, I need to be end What if a killer gets behind me and slaps my throat?
Have you heard the famous Christopher Lee story about the, going to see Dracula?
No.
It's great. It may be apocryphal, but I believe it's true. He had time to kill in some small town
or
other.
He had time to kill?
Time to kill. Some small town or other before doing something in the evening, and he passed the local cinema and saw that Dracula was on, his Dracula. I was like, well, it's been a while since I saw this. All right, you know, why not see if it's see if people are still enjoying it after all these years. And he went in, and it was empty. And he sat at the back, you know, near the back. He was just like, oh, maybe this is a bit depressing. And then 15 minutes in, two teenage girls walked in, walked straight down the aisle and sat down the front, didn't notice he was there.
Oh, God.
And continued to scream all the way through every jump scare, every bit, every time he was on screen. And so at the end he went, no, oh, I'm going to do it. And he went down the aisle to the row behind them. And just as when the credits were rolling, just leant forward and went, and how did you enjoy that, my dears? And they just screamed and ran out of the building. That's what everyone wants from her. Imagine if the human centipede had done that to you after that.
Oh my God, that would have been incredible.
Oh, hi, I'm the Babadook. Did you enjoy my work?
I think that's pretty class.
That's pretty cool. Speaking of scary films.
Yes.
You said your favourite scary moment from film or TV. You didn't give a specific moment.
Oh, I didn't know it was a moment you were asking for.
A specific moment. Okay. No, but I mean, it is a film packed with many moments.
Yes, it is a film packed with many moments.
Let's just discuss.
It is movie 43.
Doctor Sleep. No, sorry, hang on.
No, it's The Shining.
The Shining.
So it's a classic choice. People talked about it before.
No one's done The Shining.
Really?
No. So too basic, mate. No one's done it.
Yeah, it feels that way. I watched The Shining when I was 5 years old.
You two have both got horrible stories about being made to watch terrifying
films. They're not horrible stories yet.
Mine's horrible.
Yours is horrible.
Yeah.
But mine...
Are you going to make your kid watch scary films when she's five?
Yeah, she's already seen Carrie.
Like, well, she's bored of Bing,
yeah,
so...
she needs to watch something.
So, Cannibal Holocaust? No, I watched it when... I spit on your grave. She'll like that. Yeah, it's got the...
Go for
yeah, go
strong,
women.
Strong female protagonist.
No, I watched The Shining when I was five. It was on TV, and my dad was like, yeah, fine. My friend Simon was over as well, so he watched it. I don't know what's happened to him.
Dead in a hedge, I
dead
think.
In a hedge. Yeah. Dead in a hedge. You've heard of him. But this had a massive effect on me because it was terrifying.
Yes.
Because it's not just sort of like watching Gremlins when you're too young or, you know, or even watching like Nightmare on Elm Street when you're too young. There's proper... psychological terror that you can't really understand because he knows what he's doing with cameras, and so there's real creep to it. And I got to the point where I was afraid not of axes or hotels or even snow, but but corridors, any corridor, because of what might be round the corner when you turn.
And old women.
And old women and young women.
And fellating bears.
Women.
Bears being fellated.
Bears being fellated, but mostly women. Yeah. Just real fear of women.
Yeah.
I think if you had to have a scene, it's the one with the tricycle on the going around the corridors and then seeing the two girls is the one that had the biggest impact on me. It's not just the fact that you see these two girls in blue dresses, which now I think about it, is exactly like the little girl who appeared in my bedroom House
is
Gone.
This is classic
Kid
The Fear.
Messenger.
People making realizations, and I feel like a psychotherapist in a way that I'm totally unqualified to do. Connect.
But the thing that is really sort of present in my mind thinking about it is the sound of the wheels of Danny's little trike going from bare wooden floorboards to carpet to bare wooden floorboards to carpet.
It creates
a sequence that lures you into a sense of security, weirdly, that then gets interrupted by a different sense, as in the visual. And it's just incredible work. Like, but everything in that was just like, I never found a film scary again. I think my mind put up enough defences after watching that I just like, nope, films, yes, films. Yep.
this vision of a man starting off cross and getting crosser increasingly.
Yes. Yes.
That's why Stephen King hated it, didn't he?
He did.
Because Jack Nicholson starts off cross. Fine, he's a cross man.
Yeah.
Then he gets possessed, gets crosser.
Right.
Kills some people.
There's a big journey.
Yeah. He has an arc. Yeah. It's an arc of a cross man.
He gets writer's block and so murders his family.
Yeah.
That's ostensibly what it is.
We've all been there.
Yeah,
no, Shining's awesome. Are you going to go and watch Doctor Sleep?
Absolutely
with
not.
Ewan
no.
McGregor at a door.
I mean,
threatening to sing at you.
I like Ewan McGregor, not in his films.
On his motorbike,
yeah. Or you know, just if I ever did meet him, yeah. I think I'd like him. But you know,
you have similar faces.
No, do we? No. Well, he's a very attractive man. So
that's a
thank
good compliment.
You. That is a very good compliment.
Yeah. Put that on your posters.
Yeah, I'll put that. You have similar faces. Brackets. Ewan McGregor.
Yeah.
Sarah Morgan.
Yeah. Also, I did hold up the flyer for The Woman in Black at you earlier on,
and went, Dave.
If anyone's seen the flyer for The Woman in Black,
West End
production, but it's also on here very soon.
Oh, really?
Some giant
Same
posters.
Cast.
It's the picture on it is just David Reed looking a bit moody.
It looks a lot like me.
Yeah.
And gallingly, as I told Sarah earlier, I actually auditioned to replace. the man on that poster in Woman in Black.
Didn't you?
Yeah, and I did not get the part.
Yeah.
But I did tell them in the audition, and you wouldn't even have to spend more money on posters.
Doctor Sleep sounds...
It's a terrible title.
Yeah.
It sounds like a...
It's very
it
exciting. Sounds like, the Shining, ooh.
It sounds like Doctor's... a Muppet, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it's like Dr. Teeth, yeah. but it's a Sesame Street Dr. Teeth.
Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem.
Yeah.
There's no Electric Mayhem in the title, Dr.
Not
Sleep.
If you're trying to sleep. No, that would be bad.
Don't make the poster look like the poster for the film that was really good. We can have things that are new now.
Oh, I know.
But hopefully it's the beginning of the extended Shining universe.
Well, the Shiniverse.
The Shiniverse, where there's just a load of different teens with the Shining powers that solve crimes.
The Shine, yeah.
The Shine.
Yeah, no,
Red
we need
Ram.
More.
Red Ram.
Yeah.
Defeating their own parents.
All of them, one by one.
But hang on, no one gets defeated in The Shining. In the film, he dies in a hedge maze.
He gets
and
defeated
in the book,
by
he gets
winter.
Blown up by the boiler. Yeah.
I disagree. I think Danny defeats his father by outwitting him, by covering up his tracks so he gets lost in the maze.
Yeah.
True.
I would argue.
I don't think that takes a shine, though.
No.
It takes a shovel.
No, that's true.
That wasn't worth it. I thought a husband and wife team is perfect for this because it's a bit like Mr. and Mrs. We're going, no, you don't really think that. What are you talking about? You're scared of spiders. No. What do you, what do you think he said, Danielle?
His fear now.
What's his fear now?
Commitment.
Is it... So we've got two outhouses and they're full of crap. Is it that behind the crap there's a skeleton of a knight?
A Viking knight.
It's the number of conversations you managed to crowbar the fact we have two outhouses into.
And when you
so
say
middle
of,
class now.
When you say full of crap, you mean junk, right?
Yeah.
Junk.
Okay.
That belongs to my father.
Rather than just poos.
What? No, it's not full of poo. It's like the scene from The Shining, but brown.
Yeah.
Just open the door and
so
out.
So if it's not that, is it... Were you being genuine or were you being flippant?
I've been genuine.
I mean, I
those are my two gears. You're right.
I would be scared of this. I like Fears You Live In Now that are kind of, you know, sometimes like cling film or something. But this is something I think is a perfectly reasonable fear.
So
yeah.
There's an episode of Casualty.
But I'm not in.
Where Charlie's whole family die in a gas explosion. Is it that?
No. No, it's not. That would be fine.
If a fictional character's family...
If they're all going to die, I'd rather it all happened in one go. You know, get the Band-Aid off.
But then
thank you.
I don't know. They were my two guesses. Knights and that thing from Community.
You know me so well.
David Reed. I do feel like Bob Monkhouse now. Who hosted Mr. and Mrs.? Was it Monkhouse?
Schofield did it later.
Ooh. Mm. Scopes, Mr. and Mrs. The answer that David gave for the fear that he lives now is home invasion.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yes.
What, with like insects?
No. That's infestation. Home invasion.
Home invasion.
No, look, I wrap my brains as to something that I genuinely sort of... Not that I sort of think about in a practical sense or, you know, just like, oh, what about the NHS dying? Or what about, you know, the end of the world? Or what about, you know, floating off into space? You know, things that could happen. But it's...
Could you float off into space?
I genuinely used to have a fear as a teenager of immortality. Because when people would say, I want to live forever,
yeah.
My brain would just go, but the Earth is going to explode one day. And then you'll just be out in space forever.
Oh, I like that.
Really cold.
That feels like a short story that
needs
writing.
That's what I thought watching the film Highlander.
Yeah.
I was just like, mate, should have got someone to cut your head off while you had the chance. Now they're all gone. You're screwed. No. Home invasion, you just sort of get into this, and I don't know if it's probably changed since having a home and a family in that home, mm-hmm. but it's that thing of... What if bigger boys come into the house? You know, people who can't be reasoned with. I think that's the most middle-class fear of people, a situation you can't talk your way out of.
It's very dad.
It
dad
is.
Fears.
And then you go, well, do I grab the nearest thing that can be used as a weapon, or would that escalate the situation? And then that would be on my conscience if something went wrong. And, you know, all of this sort of hypothetical scenarios where you go, how do you protect yourself and people you care about?
Love. You can use that word.
No. I want to keep my options open. And people you care about, people you would miss.
People you're fond of.
People you're fond of. People you love.
I love that you can't look each other in the eye at this point.
I'm trying to recall what's going on in my brain.
You're talking about something very, very real, which is that you feel responsible for your family
and
you're terrified
true.
Of what you
no,
would have
but
to do.
That, no, I mean, that's obviously
this feels
true.
Like a very
I find that
real
almost
thing,
boring
yeah.
to talk about. What I'm reaching for is how weird that is, that it manifests as lying sort of awake at night in bed when you can't, drop off to sleep.
Yeah.
And so you just imagine hypothetical scenarios of people coming into the house.
Yeah.
And you go, well, I suppose I could barricade us in here. But then what happens is, what if they set fire to the house? Then we're trapped in here.
Mm.
Okay, so maybe I should have a knife behind that curtain. And, you know, what if I stab them and they just grab the knife off me? I've just handed them a knife.
If it makes you feel better, I have a number of recurring nightmares where my house gets invaded and the first thing I do is pair of scissors straight in the throat.
Yeah, but you
so
see...
just calm
so
me
you've
down.
Got, you've,
you've
got
not
a
seen,
oh,
You've not seen enough
I mean,
John Wick movies,
other
and
other
I know
people.
You've seen all of the John Wick movies. So
if, scissors in the throat is like...
Yeah, but you've just created a cycle of revenge on behalf of dangerous, violent people.
Family
you
of...
You will never sleep soundly again.
The family of scissors in the throat, man, is going to come for me.
That's right.
I've got more scissors.
That is probably the fear.
Oh, we're not so different. Fear.
The fear
no,
if you
but,
kill a burglar.
No, but this is a cascading, escalating scenario in my head.
And you don't know what the consequences of you...
It never ends.
Yeah.
And the more you think about it, the more you go, it doesn't end when the films end.
Yeah.
No.
You don't kill one person, problem solved. You just go, this will now never go away because you killed one person. In all of my nightmares about this, it always escalates to the point where I have done something... Because I've watched too many films that is disproportionately too violent.
Yeah.
That is always what I've done. And the rest of the dream is the prolonged legal process of telling me exactly what I should have done and why that was disproportionate and why I'm now going to prison and won't be with my family for quite some time.
And yet,
it always turns into the law fucking me rather than the people who broke into my house.
You have a nightstick next to your bed.
I do have a which is an American... truncheon.
Beating
I thought
truncheon.
You said a night's dick.
Yes,
that
that's
it.
What it's called.
No,
yeah.
A night's dick is what I thought.
Oh, a night's
dick. Oh my God. Like a truncheon.
Which is why I'm so afraid of knights in the outhouse.
Yeah. You mean a truncheon, right?
Yeah, it's a night's dick.
But have you seen the film Eden Lake? Because that's the thing that, like, for me, I think it's got a similar thing. So if you've not seen the film Eden Lake, it's great. Michael Fassbender's in it, doesn't even get his dick out. And
it's nice, brilliant.
Him and his girlfriend go for a lovely holiday by a lake, and then they get beaten up by some very bad people.
Thomas Turgoose is there, isn't he?
Yes.
From This Is England.
Yes, and it's a really violent film, and then, so it's a proper horror film, and in the end, the girlfriend manages to escape the situation by basically taking on her attackers. And she is then caught up by the family of the attackers. And that's the only film I've ever seen that does that, where you think she's escaped and then she comes into the clutches of the family of the people that she's had to overcome. And it's a really frightening twist at the end.
It is genuinely. I think that's it. That's one of my biggest fears. And it's because I've been brought up middle class. It's the idea of unreasonable people. And so it's the idea that if one person
if you kill their kids, then maybe they'll be annoyed.
Rather than just getting over it like everyone else would, they'll come along and kill your dog, and that's how it all begins. Because we've all seen horror films. It always starts with killing your dog, and then escalates to killing a parent. That's not escalation. That's working backwards.
I feel like you need a step between dog and parent.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Kill the postman.
They always kill your postman and just leave them as an offering on your front doorstep.
Do you think this is guilt for playing out a perfectly healthy revenge fantasy in your head? A burglar comes in, I defend my family. Everyone, whether regardless of whether family or has a, you think about someone hurting your loved ones and you play out a revenge scenario in your head. I feel like possibly what's going on here is that you can't allow yourself to have that feeling. Like,
I agree.
Like,
I think
watching
that's
a pornography, you felt, I must also know the consequences. I must know that she got home all right afterwards.
My brain doesn't let me believe that I can be heroic, I think is basically what you're saying. Right.
But the vigilante
thing.
Isn't a hero. That's what your brain's telling you. The vigilante is not a hero.
Yes.
How do you feel about the film Home Alone? Because that is, to me, the ultimate home invasion
film. For me, the mistake it makes is that he's alive at the end.
Macaulay Culkin.
Because, you know, he's attempted to murder two men over and over and over again.
He's made them go see-through with electricity.
That's right.
That's against the laws of physics.
He's burnt one of them's head, probably irreparably.
Oh, he smashed one of them in the face with an iron. Oh, my God.
He's broken their backs on ice.
The police are here.
He's burnt the palm of another one with a red hot door handle. Home Alone 2 Lost in New York should have been about a 26-year-old sociopath.
who meets Donald Trump.
Who tracks down the two burglars. And it should have been the first Saw film.
That's very true.
Locks them in a room.
Fantastic.
Falls asleep between them. Spoilers. No one's seen it. It's all right.
What, Home Alone 2?
No, Saw.
Right.
Both have Donald Trump in them. So.
Anything you'd like to plug, David Reed?
Yes, I do a podcast called Inside the Comedian, where I interview comedians about their glorious careers in comedy, but they are not allowed to tell the truth. And so I corner them to talk a load of old shit.
It's very funny.
Thank you very much. We've got a new series coming out soon, but you can go to MrDavidReed.com and subscribe from there.
Daniel?
I also have a podcast. It's called Do the Right Thing. It's a comedy panel show. It has some really good people on it. And we've just had Series 7, which has got 12 episodes. Series 8 is being recorded next year. If you've enjoyed Do the Right Thing, you can come and see us do a couple of shows at the end of this year as well. So, yeah.
Both of those shows, two of my favourite podcasts of all time.
Thank you.
You two of my favourite people of all time.
Thank you.
City of York, you're genuinely beautiful, and I've had such
great,
a lovely time
it?
Being... It's gorgeous, even in the rain,
even in the rain.
Ghosts. It is absolutely stunning here, and I've been made to feel so welcome. Thank you so much, York. And should we say something spooky to end on? Anyone got anything to his clothes? Just goodbye. That's quite
Michael Jackson. Thriller's a good album.
That's the real fear. You'll never dance to Thriller again without feeling bad about yourself. And on that bombshell, York, I love you. Thank you so much. You've been lovely. Bye.